fine day, or whatever day you're listening. It's a fine day. When the slow burn music starts playing, that means it's time for the show. So let's get into it. Welcome everyone to Politics and Everything in Between. Another episode. I know I've been absent. I actually recorded 4 other episodes that I'm actually going to put up, even though they're old. Like, I talk about Robin Williams' death, Ferguson, other stuff, but they're old. But I think they're really fucking good, so I'm going to put them up, and along with this brand new one. And what I'm going to talk about today in this brand new one is yes means yes. No means no, but yes means yes. By that, you may be going, yes, Alex, that is what that means. But I'm talking about the new California bill that was just signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown, who is a good governor. I don't live there, so I don't know. And Jerry Brown signed this bill into law that basically said, you know, when 2 consenting adults say yes, they can have sex. Otherwise, it's not sex, it's rape. And so it's basically saying yes means yes, that the woman has to consent to having sex, and if she doesn't, well, she's been a victim of rape. And I think it's sad that we have to pass legislation, that states have to pass legislation that infer this, that have to remind people this, that have to actually, you know, basically being a good person. Like, we have to remind people, hey, maybe don't fucking have sex with her if she hasn't said yes. Maybe that's a good idea. The fact that we have to remind people of that is just so, just unbelievably wrong. And just so sad. It's so sad that we have to tell men my age, or just men in general, but preferably men my age who are in college, hey, she may be drunk, but she ain't saying yes. Just the fact that we have to say that not only pisses me off, but I'm sure it pisses off a lot of college-age women. Do you blame them? When, you know, 5. When 1 in 5 college women is going to get raped when they're in college. Because the men can't fucking control themselves. Like, we live in this hyper-masculinity culture where the fathers of many of these men who go on to commit these college rapes, sadly, the father of these men basically, you know, bring them up to be this hyper-masculine man, to be like, oh, yeah, you're a man. You don't do no wrong, especially if you're a white man. If you're a hyper-masculine white man, then you act fucking invincible. And that's what a lot of these men who are committing these rapes on college campuses are, hyper-masculine white men who just apparently have no shame, who their dick's hard, so they're gonna fuck, and it doesn't matter if she's asleep or not, or if she said yes or no. Well, she didn't say anything, it was sex. No, I'm pretty sure that's rape. It's like, first of all, the fact that 1 in 5 women get raped in college is just sad, you know? And not only that, you're going to a college, think of University of Chicago, which is $65,000 a year. Holy shit. You know, University of Chicago, I'm bringing that up because they violated Title IX. Yay! I'm going to get into the college's responses to this in just a little while, but right now I want to focus on this sort of yes means yes, hyper-masculine culture thing first before I get to that. University of Chicago, Title IX violations. Okay. That's not good. if a woman in the University of Chicago is raped, not only has she been raped, but something has been taken from her. I'm not saying virginity. That's not what I'm saying. But something has been taken from her, and it... And she has to walk around knowing that nobody believes her. Because many of these women who are raped don't come forward. And those who do are, it's like, no, sweetheart, you weren't raped. You're just a little emotional. Like, that's the response. That's an ass backwards response. When we're saying that to young women who are in confidence coming to you as an administrative official or a teacher or someone who has greater power, and they, in full confidence, the woman in full confidence comes to you and says, I was a victim of sexual assault. I was raped. Okay? I was raped, and your response as that adult is either two things. No, you didn't. No, you weren't. You're a little emotional. Or, what were you wearing? You had it coming. And when adults, who, by the way, give these fucking responses, not only adults who are in power, who run these universities, or professors, or even counselors, it's even the parents of many of these girls who have fathers who sit down with them, and their first question isn't, who is he? Or, we're going to help you. It's, what were you wearing? Doesn't fucking matter. Who gives a shit what she was wearing? She was raped. You know, you don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to dress a certain way. You know, no, a girl can wear whatever the hell she wants, you know. But it's sad because there are some girls who do wear clothes, and they're conscious about, oh, if I wear this, then I may, you know, be, then I may be looked at, or I may be, or I may get catcalls, or I may, hell, you know, just the, it's irrelevant. I'm sorry, it's irrelevant. The fact that, she was wearing a certain thing, so clearly that was it. She was wearing short shorts and a tank top. That was it. Oh, yeah, she had it coming because of what she was wearing. No. Not the case. And I'm so sick of hearing that. Like, well, you slut. Like it's always her fault. Like, let's victim blame. Like, ugh, those women, they have it coming, don't they? No. If that's our response, if that's what an adult has as a response, then they need not talk. They need not talk. Because if that's your response, then that's not helping. That's just making it worse. That's just saying to the victim, I don't really believe you, and it's your fault. You know, to the best of my knowledge, it's not like there are fucking conferences or seminars that these parents or, you know, college presidents or professors can go to on how to appropriately respond to talking and dealing with someone who's a victim of sexual assault. You know? There's not that. There's no such thing as a seminar where they can go to. And even if there was, would they fucking go to it? To them, it's a waste of time because they got it covered. And I guess the ones who would go to that are the ones who, of course, the worst things have to happen where the college presidents and the professors who go to the schools that violated Title IX, they'd go to that even if that existed, because they'd kind of be forced to, because you're like, oh, shit, well, we have Title IX violations, you know. But if the University of Chicago did not have those Title IX violations, you know, if those didn't come down on the other 54 schools as well, you know, if there was such a thing as a seminar for them to go to on how to appropriately deal with that, you know, led by someone who's a professional and, you know, counseling, if that were a thing and those schools didn't have those Title IX violations, do you think they'd fucking go to it? Do you think to them in their mind it would be a waste of time? If it were a thing where, oh, you have Title IX violations, oh, well, we should go to this seminar. Like, the worst thing has to happen. Like, oh, yeah, we inappropriately responded to victims of sexual assault. We mishandled it and all this. And I'm not saying, and it's not like those Title IX schools, those 55 Title IX schools that violated Title IX, it's not like they're the only schools in the nation. Like, there are others in Chicago. I'm looking at you, DePaul University. But there are others in Chicago and across the fucking country. KU, University of California, any of the University of Californias. You know, from University of California to NYU to DePaul to even sometimes at Loyola. I went to Loyola, and I have to say, they got their shit together when it came to sexual assault. But the fact that California has to pass a law reaffirming the fact that you have to consent to sex, that two people have to consent. Like, I want to have sex. I don't. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to fuck you anyway. That's not consensual sex. The fact that we have to pass legislation to reaffirm that and tell the schools and tell the people, you know, that there has to be a law in the book saying that is so sad, because it shows that our men have not been brought up well at all. That they're fucking savage animals who will fuck anything and will do it with force and in a shameless manner. And it's so sad. It's just so sad that there are these, that there are women who have this burden on them. Not so much a burden, but just have this weight on them that makes them feel alone, that they have to walk down the streets every day, not only being harassed, you know, but the fact that they have been victims of sexual assault. They have to carry that. And in many of their cases were either bungled or nobody fucking believed them and did anything about it. And their perpetrator is still out there. Still going to the school, has a nice job, probably on Wall Street, you know. And that woman has to walk down the street every day with that weight on her shoulders. And if you're in a city, like, apparently Minneapolis has a really bad problem with catcalling. And there was that woman who recorded an interaction she had with men when she came to them and said, maybe you shouldn't say my ass looks good today. Or maybe you shouldn't say, oh, you look hot in that dress. Maybe you shouldn't fucking say that to me. That doesn't make me feel safe. And then when she talks to these men, they see nothing wrong with it. They think that, oh, I'm complimenting you. Why can't you take a fucking compliment? Because that's not how you compliment a woman. I'm sorry. That's just not how you compliment a woman. You know, telling her, oh, your ass looks good today. And then you get pissed off when they say, don't say that to me. And then you're going, what did I say wrong? There's a fucking problem there. There's a fucking problem there. And these are adults who are doing this. These are adults. You know, that sort of stereotype of the woman walking down the street, walking past a construction site, the guys are on their lunch break, and they're like, and they're, I can't whistle right now, they're like, you know, they're whistling, and they're like, hey, you know, nice ass. You know, sadly, that isn't just a thing that exists in movies from the fucking 1950s and 60s or 70s. You know, those that's not a thing that exists in movies. It's a thing that's real. It's a thing that's real, and it may not be a woman walking past a construction site wearing a dress. It doesn't matter. Apparently, it doesn't matter what the woman's wearing, because they get catcalls. And women have to face this sort of harassment that is so heinous that I am just sick. I get sick just, like, hearing about it or reading something about it, reading a woman's encounter. And the thing that pisses me off is that, especially with this rape case, the thing that pisses me off to the end is these colleges and universities do nothing or the bare minimum about it. These are serious allegations, okay? These are serious allegations that a woman is bringing forward. A woman is coming to you in confidence and saying, I have been a victim of sexual assault. I was, you know, my perpetrator is so-and-so. What are you going to do about it? And I'm trying to remember the one case. I remember what happened in the case. I don't remember where the school was. But a woman came forward and said she was raped. She knew who her perpetrator was. And what does the school do about it? They fine him $25. That's the shit I'm talking about right there. No accountability. No accountability whatsoever. If that is a college or university's response to sexual assault, a fucking fine, because apparently it's like a parking ticket. If that is a college or university's response to sexual assault, to a man who committed a fucking crime, then everyone involved in that case, from the administration on down, should be fired at any university if that is their response, because that is not how you handle a case like that. It should not be a fine, like, hey, you know, you did something bad, pay us a little fine. Not the case. Or even like, just, like, suspending them. Like, there's no expulsion. It's like, at the most, they'll suspend them, like, 2 semesters, and then they get to come back. And then, what? The victim has to deal with, see that person again? Because they'll be back. Like, they'll get 2 semesters without seeing them. But the fact that they're going to be on the same campus 2 semesters later, to, you know, there was that one case where they suspended the perpetrator 2 semesters. And that was it. And he got to come back. And there were a couple cases where they even fucking let them graduate. Okay? A person who committed a crime got the most lenient. They are committing a crime, mind you. This is a sexual crime. And I would go further than that, actually. Because I would go further than, not only is it a sexual crime, but it's like a fucking borderline hate crime. Okay? It's a hate crime. Because what it shows, what something like when a 21-year-old guy, mind you, you're 20, you know, 18, 19, 20, doesn't fucking matter. You're an adult. Okay? You're an adult. You're not in high school anymore. Okay? You're not in high school. And I'm not saying that even if you did commit sexual assault, that it's fine in high school. But you're an adult, and a lot of these guys still think, you know, they're in high school. They have this high school mentality, which carries with them to college, because they're fucking invincible. They were fucking invincible in high school, so guess what? In the adult world, I'm going to act fucking invincible too. And that's what they do. And so guess what? You're an adult. And when you're at a party, doesn't matter if you're at a party, doesn't matter where you fucking are, and let's say you want to have sex with a girl, this pretty girl who is a little tipsy, and you ask her, you just outright fucking ask her, hey, you want to have sex? And she says no. And a normal person, a normal man, a good person, mind you, would say, okay, she said no. It's her choice in this, okay? Okay? She has to say, like it all hinges on whether or not she says yes or no. It's like, second she says no, be done with it, walk away. Okay? Don't force yourself on her. And that's what this happens. Walks up to the girl, says, hey, you want to have sex with me? She says no. What do? You eventually strike back later and fucking assault her. But you do it in the guise of just, oh, she was drunk. She didn't necessarily say yes or no, but we had sex and she was fine with it. And you're doing that in sort of the guise of, like, she was drunk, as if somehow her being inebriated is okay. Like, oh, well, if she was sober, it'd be different, but she was tipsy, so I fucked her, and that was okay. Still fucking rape. And then when that person, whether or not they're tipsy or not, even if it was a sober person, who's a victim of sexual assault, a sober person who's a victim of sexual assault, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're sober or drunk. It doesn't matter. If they're a victim of sexual assault and they come forward saying, hey, no, I'm not on that tone, Jesus Christ, Alex. They come forward, and they come forward to a dean. Let's say a dean. The dean. And say, I was a victim of sexual assault. I was assaulted by, insert name here. And then the response is kind of like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that, you know. Just this sort of like bullshit of like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. We'll take care of it. Ooh, breaking news. Secret Service Director Julia Pearson has resigned, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson says. Huh. That's breaking off, fresh off the wire. The Secret Service kerfluffle has come to a head. But back to what I was saying. That's breaking news off the wire from the AP. Won't be breaking news by the time this gets put out there. But going back to what I was saying, they say, oh, I'm so sorry. And then they go to whoever else deals with this, and then they deal with that person, and then they come back to the, and then, first of all, they don't even tell the victim what happens. They don't even say, okay, good news, we expelled him. Instead, it's like, she has to find out in some, like, through some, like, middleman who knows all about, it's fucking weird at a lot of these colleges and universities. Like, they're not even told what the, if their perpetrator is even getting any, you know, it has any repercussions for their actions. You know, whether or not they're going to get arrested or expelled and arrested. And in many of these cases, it's just like a suspension for a semester or two semesters. They'll get to come back. Hey, you committed this heinous crime. Why don't you come on back when things have boiled, settled down a little? Like, that's the mentality. Like, just ride it out. You know, come back in two semesters. Take some time off. Take a little vacation for committing this crime. And come on back when she's not, you know, an emotional girl. Like, that's kind of the mentality. And when you're thinking of that, if you're a college, if that is what the administration of a college or university does, that's the repercussions for this crime, for this person who committed a crime. That's the repercussion. Those are the repercussions. Then you need to be fucking fired, because there's absolutely no accountability whatsoever. Whatsoever. You know? Go even further. You committed a crime. This person committed a crime. The right response would be to listen to the person who's bringing forward this shit. I am so sick of these men's rights activists. These fucking men's rights activists who seem to be growing by the day. I don't fucking get it, because men are so oppressed. Especially the white man. Ooh, the white man is so oppressed. These men's rights activists who have it in their platform. I swear to fucking God, you can look this up. It is written. They have written it down for everyone to see. They have explicitly said this. They have said that women lie about being raped for attention. They have literally said that. They have put it in their platforms or websites or any sort of writings that they do, that you can't trust a woman because she's just going to turn around and point the finger at you and say you assaulted her or you raped her. That's what they fucking think. Because those women, they're bringing the white man down. And apparently, the colleges have adopted this men's rights activist platform because they do fucking nothing about it. And it's sick. It's sick. This is a crime, you know? If a student murdered someone, this is a sex crime, okay? Still a fucking crime that can be tried in court and send you to jail. Let's not even make this a gender thing. If a fucking student murdered someone on campus, they would go to jail. What makes this any different? You know, if a student murdered someone, the administration wouldn't say, oh, well, just take two semesters off. Yeah, you murdered that person, but just take two semesters off. Ow. I got so worked up that I hit my hand on the table like a terrible person. Just take two semesters off. I mean, no, you wouldn't respond to that. And we've seen this shit happen. They go right to jail. What makes this any different? It's a fucking sex crime. To me, it's a fucking hate crime. Because it shows that you don't value a woman. You know? You hit someone just because they're gay. That's a hate crime. What the hell makes this any different? You force yourself on a woman just because she has different lady parts and you just want to get off? What? And I know there are those who are going to disagree. And men's rights activists are going to be all like, oh, well, that's not the case. Don't you know that men are being oppressed? You know, men aren't just rapists. College men aren't just rapists. True. That is a fact. I'm a college guy. I'm not a fucking rapist. But there are those on college campuses who fucking do this shit. And not only do it once, they just continue doing it. Like, a lot of these guys who do assault a lot of these women are just repeat offenders, you know? It's not just one. It's like two, three, four, you know, Jay. Let's call him Jay, you know? Woman comes forward, yeah, it was Jay who assaulted me. And then five other women come forward and say, yeah, Jay assaulted me too. You know, it's always a repeat offender. Like someone who's done it 10 fucking times. And then the person who does it 10 fucking times gets the most lenient penalty there is. Such a disconnect between the reality and then how the school treats. Like, what should really happen and how the school reacts to it. Like, and in many of these cases, these men are star athletes. You know? These men are athletes, in many cases, star athletes, like I just said. And suddenly, school has a conundrum. Oh, we could expel the lacrosse player, the star lacrosse player, because he raped 10 women. Or we could give him a lenient punishment and have him come back and we could win the NCAA championship with him. Ooh, tough choices. Guess what? Doesn't matter if he's a star lacrosse player. Any of his accomplishments are null and void because he committed a crime. Because he raped 10 women. Or however many women. Or one woman. Or he committed a crime. He's a rapist. And your response is, give him a little time off. Because we need to win an NCAA championship. Or whatever. We need to win this game. How dare we? Why would we even want accountability? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. It makes me sick. I'm just sickened by how these universities react. And I do want to bring the close to home thing. Because at DePaul University here in Chicago, the students, men and women, mind you, are fucking sick of their school sweeping literally all these rape cases under the rug. Like, all these women have come forward and they've done nothing or the least amount of things. Or the least amount of have given the least amount of action to the case. And in many of these cases, they haven't done anything at all. Like, their report hasn't even, like, been fucking seen, most of these reports. And there was, what happened was, last year, or this year, it was earlier this year, shit came to fruition. You know, the shit hit the fan there. And there was a group called DePaul Anonymous DePaul, something like that. I don't remember. I don't go there. I have friends who do, but I don't remember the name. I remember reading about it. Like, it made it to, like, the fucking Tribune, the Chicago Tribune. Like, that, it was a pretty big story, actually. I'm surprised it didn't make national attention, to be honest with you. Oh, yeah, and then there's the woman who goes to Columbia. Oh, is it Columbia or is it NYU? Might be NYU. Maybe actually might be goes to one of the New York City schools also who's carrying the mattress around, who's literally just carrying a mattress around until her rapist is convicted. I'll get into that a little later. But DePaul, going back to DePaul, they've had enough. And so they, in their student center at DePaul, just let down this big old fucking banner that says, "Stop sweeping rape cases under the rug. Like, stop hiding this from us. We need to know what's happening." And they are putting the administration's feet to the fire. Like, the president of DePaul should be ashamed, first of all. But when it's come to the point where a group of anonymous students has to fucking put a big banner saying, "Stop doing this shit, handle rape cases appropriately," when that has to happen, then guess what? You haven't done your fucking job because you haven't kept the students safe. So guess what? All of you who have not, and this goes not for just DePaul, this goes for any other school, okay? This goes for any other school who does this too. Those who are high in power, the president of DePaul, and everyone involved who deals with this shit, and is not given a fucking lick of attention to the poor women who have to suffer the consequences of being raped, who have to carry that weight on their shoulders every fucking day, who have to worry about walking down the street or walking on campus, who, you know, they feel vulnerable. You, the administration of any of these schools, but especially DePaul, everyone involved who is not given swift action, resign immediately. Resign immediately. Because you wouldn't fucking do this to a person who committed murder, okay? You wouldn't let someone who shot someone on campus or stabbed someone or just killed someone on campus, you wouldn't fucking sweep that under the rug. So what makes this any different? Nothing. Nothing. Okay? Nothing. And what needs to be done is, I'm sorry, the Department of Education needs to really just swifter penalties. Really, the Department of Education needs to open up some sort of, this is a solution, okay? This is a solution of how this could be done. The Department of Education needs to open up some sort of hotline or something where those who call in have to identify what school they go to, okay? What school they go to, and they have to log this down. The people calling don't need anonymous calls. We don't need to know who's calling. We just need to know where they go to school, okay? We need to know where they go to school and what happened. And then the Department of Education needs to get their shit together and start just hitting these universities with fines. And not just the 55 universities with the Title IX, okay? Not just the 55 universities with the Title IX violations. I'm talking about basically all they need to do is just go into the Al Jazeera America archives and look at their multiple phenomenal, just phenomenal and fantastic pieces they have done on campus sexual assault. They did one at one of the University of California's, Kansas University. That was the most damning one. They actually went to like a frat house. And they interviewed some of these frat guys who were like, yeah, who literally said on camera, like their faces weren't blurred out or anything, who literally said, yeah, if she's unconscious, I can have sex with her. Literally fucking said that on television. Not anonymously. Not faces blurred out and talking. Literally, their names were on the chyron, their face, they're wearing their little Guernsey, Kansas, you know, polo, and they said that. These schools need to wake up. There needs to be accountability. And you know what? If their worry is how it makes them look, well, then guess what? You're doing a great fucking job already. Because you'll look like shit if you don't do anything about it. You know? A woman would be more inclined to go to your school. You know, if a woman hears about DePaul and she's thinking about applying to DePaul, this senior girl who's thinking about applying to DePaul, but she's heard everything a lot about the sexual assault. And, you know, and she's like, oh, my God, I may be one of those, you know, maybe one of the 1 in 5 women who's raped on campus. And by the way, there are people, conservatives especially, who just don't think that's a fucking real number. They don't think that women are being raped on campus at all. They think they're lying, and they think that it's just not a thing, that it's inflated by the Department of Education for some fucking reason. Like, yeah, let's make up rape stats. Let's just make up some stats about rape on campus. Because, you know, we're the government, and we can do, like, that's what they think. And just the fact that you deny that, just shut the fuck up. Just shut up. Because if you're denying a statistic like that, then nothing really gets done, don't you think? Nothing gets done if you're going, well, 1 in 5 women are getting, you know, assaulted on college campuses, and the other person going, not really, they're lying about it. We don't get anywhere if that's the case. My phone is exploding with the Secret Service resignation, which that's a big thing. Just to kind of go away from that from this for a second. That's a big thing. That's a big fucking deal. What's happening with the Secret Service? It was like, first it was the jumper, the fence jumper, and it was like, oh wow, he, you know, made it to the front door, and then we're like, oh, that's terrible. Somebody should have been there. Okay, fine. And then we find out Monday that they were fucking made it inside. And not only did that, which I've been, look, where he was apprehended, I've been to the White House, okay? I got a private tour of the White House where I didn't have a tour guide. We just got to fucking go in and just roam. Like, it was the coolest thing ever. And where they were talking about the East Room, where they apprehended him in the East Room, been there, stood there, been through the Green Room, the Blue Room, the Red Room. I've been there. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I fucking been there. Yeah, I've been to the place where, yeah, I was there where Obama announced Osama bin Laden was dead. I was there. I wasn't there that night, but I was there a few months before that happened in 2010. But that was a fucking cool trip. I got to go to the White House. And so every time I see Obama, I'm like, yep, been in there. You know, when he's giving interviews in the Red Room, I'm like, yep, I ran through there. Because fun fact, that day we were about to leave and we couldn't find the exit. We just got to go in. We had to go through the security check. And then they just kind of let us roam, and it was so cool. Of course, they have many areas, you know, blocked off where it was kind of like turned into a museum. But once you got upstairs where the East Room is, it's just like free for all. And so we're like trying to leave, and we're walking down the stairs, and suddenly I hear these helicopter, you know, I hear the just the propellers of a helicopter, like, you know, Marine One's coming down. Oh, shit, that's Obama. I'm like, that's fucking Obama. Obama's here. And so I'm like, is he coming back? Turns out he was going to Connecticut, because when I went, it was just a few days before the 2010 midterms. And he was going to Connecticut to campaign for some Democrat. And I'm like, okay, is he getting off or is he going on? And I heard that. And I just ran away from my dad. I literally ran through the East Room, ran through the Green Room, ran through the Red Room, pushed my way through the people who were gathering through the window, and was, like, up there, practically my face on the window, like, when's Obama coming? And it was a pretty fucking cool sight, because we're waiting there 10 minutes, but it's like, okay, he's not coming, let's go. I'm like, no, he's coming. And so I got to see him, like, do the Obama walk across the front lawn. And then, you know, he saluted, of course, not with a coffee, okay? The man actually has respect for the military. Jesus Christ. You know, I saw him salute the Marines who got down, which was cool because there were Marines who were actually on. I saw Marine One land. So when I got to the window, Marine One was landing. And it was so cool because what happens is when Marine One lands, basically, they have Marines on there. And so those two Marines come off, and they're just standing there waiting for the president. And then you're like, oh, this is so cool. When's Obama coming? You're like, okay, yeah, I'm hungry. I want lunch, but when's Obama coming? And I'm like waiting for Obama to come. And like, here he comes. Everybody's like, ah, it's Obama. And I'm like, Obama. And then he saluted the military, and literally in like 15 seconds, like, it was so fucking quick, the helicopter literally just like flies away. Like it literally just like went up, did a 180, and like flew away in like a 20-second span. It was amazing. And then we were like, okay, well, I think I have a story to tell. Okay, let's go get lunch. But that was cool. So I got to see Obama do that. And so back to the Secret Service thing that I was talking about, which, I mean, heads are rolling, and heads are now rolling, which the reason Julia, the head of the Secret Service, resigned was because of the fact that an armed man was let on an elevator with Obama, which, Jesus Christ, that's a failure right there. If you let an armed man on the elevator with the president, ugh, yikes. Something weird's happening there. I don't know what's going on, but... You know, I'm not surprised that she resigned. But going back to the campus assault thing, and I think there's, you know, I want to make a couple more points because 40 minutes, we're at the 40-minute mark. We have time. I have time. I go talk all day, but I don't want to keep you here. I have time. So let me continue talking about this. So, before I start, I just want to apologize for the yelling. It's just an issue that works me up. It just gets me so worked up because it's like you're going, oh, why can't there be accountability? Like, why can't you punish them? And you don't. And then, you know, always in those pieces, you know, are like, they're like, and was the person who committed the crime apprehended? No, they got a $25 fine. And you're going, what the fuck? You're like, what the fuck? You know, it's a frustrating thing. Because not only do we have students who are going to college with thousands of dollars in debt, like tens of hundreds, for some hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, you know. And what do those 1 in 5 women who are assaulted on campus, what do they leave with? They leave with tons of debt. And then being emotionally scarred and feeling alone and on edge because you were assaulted also during your college experience. I just want to make this point that this bullshit about the college experience, that you have not been to college unless you've lived this American Pie lifestyle of binge drinking and trying, you know, acid. This bullshit about, oh, well, you haven't experienced the college experience. You haven't had the college experience because you haven't downed a keg with your buds. Not a thing. I'm sorry. The college experience is bullshit. It's just something that we made up as an excuse to party like animals. We just made it as an excuse to like, oh, it's okay because we're in college, so we can binge drink from this keg and try acid because we're in college. I'm sorry. It's bullshit. There's no such thing as the college experience. The college experience is going to class, doing your studies, maybe going to a couple parties, but not being a fucking crazy alcoholic drug user at these parties. You know, it's just such bullshit. But many of these men and women believe it. And so they go to these parties, they get shit-faced, and then, you know, this is unfortunately where a lot of these rapes are happening. It's not like women are walking down the street and then, you know, men, like, grab them and throw them behind the bushes and assault them there. Like, maybe that does happen. But where this is happening and where, you know, those who come forward are saying, yeah, I was assaulted, it's always at a fucking party where, of course, they've had too much to drink and the guy's like, I'm an alpha male, so I'm gonna fuck you because I'm an alpha male and, like, I'm saying yes, so you're saying yes, even though you haven't explicitly said yes, but I'm gonna fuck you anyway because, you know, this isn't a crime. That's the fucked up logic, I guess. But the hyper-masculinity bullshit, oh, God, let's cut that shit out right now. Like, when you cut that shit out, then we'll get somewhere. But until then, men are just going to walk around and go, I'm so tough and gruff and the best because that's the way I was raised. And then they walk around like they're the varsity football player with the letter jacket in, you know, senior in high school. You know, they get all the pussy. They get everything they want, you know. And many of the, and again, these schools have to protect their star players. Doesn't matter if they murdered someone or if they, you know, committed a fucking sex crime. They committed a fucking sex crime. Doesn't matter. They have to protect them. They will do anything to protect them. Sorry, their accomplishments, their ability to play a fucking game goes away when you commit a crime. Same thing with Ray Rice. Sorry, Ray Rice could cure cancer. Doesn't matter, because he beat the shit out of his wife. Okay? The second you hit or just harm anyone, but preferably a woman, especially a woman who loves you, you know, dating violence, domestic abuse, you know, dating violence for many of the teenagers and, you know, those in college who, they're not raped, but they're hit. Well, in many cases, they are raped, too. But, or domestic abuse, where here you married a partner who's supposed to love you. You're in a fucking union, okay? You have the strong union of love. And you're going to fucking hit her? I'm sorry. When you hit a woman or harm a woman, you're done. You're fucking done. And when that shit goes public, like Ray Rice, when that shit goes public, your career is over. You're done. Hope you invested your NFL money wisely, because no team's going to want your tainted, your tainted life that you have very well presented, well, against your will, I should say, because TMZ released those. But you know what? I don't fault TMZ for that. I'm sorry. You know what? It very well could have been, the NFL could have just said, yeah, we heard Ray Rice beat his wife, but there's no evidence, so he's fine. And that's what many of these players are. Like, Ray Rice, fortunately, you know, there was tape on an elevator. It happened in an elevator that had cameras on it, and it was on film. But for many of these men who do beat the shit out of their partners, we don't know that. We don't know that because it's their private life. It's not on film. It's not like they're filming it. And you know what? The NFL has a culture of abuse. They have a culture of not teaching their men manners. They have a culture of just rampant violence of women. You know, I feel like you could name all these star football players on the 32 teams in the NFL who have or do beat their wives and girlfriends. I'm sorry. Like, domestic abuse, dating violence really is just something to me that just, and it should to everyone else, but to me, it like almost makes me want to cry. But like, to me, something like that just really upsets me. That's one of the things that probably upsets me the most when I hear that a man, or it could be a woman too, but it's mostly men, but especially men, when men beat their wives, when men hit their wives, when men force themselves on their wives or girlfriends, you know? It's like, here you have two people who are supposed to love each other, okay? They're supposed to love each other. They're supposed to be partners. Yeah, you fight. You know, you fight, you have disagreements. Not saying it's all peaches and cream. But to get in an argument and then slap your wife, punch your wife, drag your wife by the hair, slap her? What kind of person does that, you know? What kind of person feels like they should do that? And again, it's asserting your dominance. It's asserting that hyper-masculine culture. That plays into it too. Because you're brought up invincible, that you're invincible. You're brought up that you're strong, you're a man. And apparently that apparently you feel that gives you the right to hit a woman. The NFL fucked up, okay? Roger Goodell fucked up. Roger Goodell needs to resign, okay? I don't buy the bullshit that he didn't see the tape until just when it came out, the same time we saw it. Because we have voicemails from back in April with the NFL saying, with the person, one of the people running the NFL going, yeah, we got the tape. Yeah, we got the tape, thanks. Where do you think that fucking tape went? To the person working in the mailroom? Like, hey, you want to see this tape? Don't show it to Roger Goodell. No, it went to the fucking commissioner, Roger Goodell. He saw it. Okay, we saw the press conference. We saw the very vague and very, you know, universal statements he was making that had no substance, that had no depth, that had no description to them. That was basically 45 minutes of him talking in just the most broad terms possible. And then apparently everyone is supposed to be like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's totally good. Like, the guys at ESPN think that's okay. They're like, that was a great press conference. Great press conference. And we're only saying that because we have millions of dollars in Monday Night Football. And again, this goes back with the sexual assault on college campuses. Because there's no accountability in the college campuses. There sure as fuck isn't any accountability in the NFL. Oh, fuck no. Especially in the NFL. They don't want their hands on that. Oh, it's their private life. Guess what? They play and make you pay them millions of dollars to represent you, okay? The NFL, the National Football League. You pay them money to represent you. They are a representation of your organization. And your organization apparently is okay with being seen as the alcoholic, wife-beating Players Association. You know? The National Football League, where many of our men beat our wives and are alcoholics. So no, nobody buys that Goodell. You know, if you think that Goodell did not see that tape in April, that he saw it when we did just a couple weeks ago, then you're a fucking idiot. Sorry. You're a fucking idiot. Because it's so clear that he lied. So clear. He did that interview with CBS. The next day, we find out, the NFL got the tape in April. No accountability. Apparently, we don't give a shit. Apparently, Joe Biden has to be the vice president of the United States, and now Obama, but especially Joe Biden, because he did VAWA, a Violence Against Women Act. He created that. You know, he's on the same side as me. He's saying the same things as I am, which is, hey, when you hit a woman, not only are you a terrible person, but you should be held accountable. We should not be hitting our wives and or significant others. And when we do that, we should be ridiculed for that. And the NFL should be ridiculed. And the universities that got the Title IX violations should be ridiculed. They should be put up on a pedestal and be lambasted. They should be ridiculed. Because here, there was no oversight. They don't care. We know they don't care. But what's it going to take? Seriously. Like, legislation? No, we can barely get the fucking Violence Against Women Act passed nowadays. The Republicans don't care. They vote against it, most of them. Hell, some women Republicans do. They're okay with hitting women. You know? Apparently they're okay with that. A couple Democrats are too. You know, we can't even get that passed. We can't even pass legislation that says, hey, don't hit women or your wives. Can't get that. We can't get that passed. It's unbelievable. I'm just amazed to watch these colleges and the heads of head of the NFL and everyone and all the NFL flacks, you know, all the NFL, you know, good boys, you know, on ESPN who, you know, NFL does no wrong. I'm so sick of them coming out talking about a very sensitive issue. And then to our faces, lie through their teeth. They lie through their teeth. Oh, we knew nothing about this. Oh, we didn't know we were violating Title IX. Oh, what rape cases, says DePaul. I didn't see the tape, says Roger Goodell. That shit. We all know it's bullshit. The thing that I don't get is, the reason I mentioned the University of Chicago, I forgot to mention this earlier, is because the University of Chicago is a little special because there was a thing that came out called the Hyde Park List. And the Hyde Park List was a list of men who committed sexual assault. It was a list of the men who were the rapists. And it was put on Tumblr. And what does fucking Tumblr do? What does Tumblr do? They remove it. They remove it from their site. Never mind the fact that you can have blogs dedicated to anal sex and fornication and fucking and degrading, you know, black women, racists, misogynists, men's rights activists, you know, people who think the Redskins' name should change. Those things are fine with Tumblr. But the second you release some private information about the men who go to a university who have committed crimes, who are rapists, because they fucking are, apparently, that's where the buck stops there. Apparently, Tumblr does not give a shit. And I went to go look for the Hyde Park List. I cannot find a fucking lick. I could just find, all I found was 16, 17, 18 with names crossed out. That's all I found. On Tumblr, on Google Images, just on the internet. I must have not been digging hard enough because I couldn't find a lick. I was expecting first page, boom, somebody saved that. Because most of this controversial shit, like controversial tweets, like people save that. People take snapshots of it. Couldn't find a thing. Couldn't find a fucking thing. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We do not give a shit about women, apparently. We don't give a shit about women. Because what we're saying to women is, hey, we don't care if you've been beaten up. We don't care if you were fucking raped. We don't care if you make less than a man. We don't care about you. Guess we need another woman's movement. Because, yeah, you got the right to vote. But I guess that comes with the price of a bunch of men taking away your health care and birth control rights. Because we don't give a shit about women. And that is the show for now. I'm Alex Mazza. If you're a men's rights activist, don't follow me on Twitter, but if you are not, follow me on Twitter at AlexM3456. Sorry for the yelling, but I hope you get the I hope the point was made. And until then, I will. Oh, you bet I will. I'll see you on the flip.